The 21st Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day and stand in all things perfect. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of justice, and having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In all things, take up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is, the word of God. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who desired to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settlement, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And he had no means of paying. His master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. But the servant fell down and beseeched him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And moved with compassion, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But as that servant went out, he met one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hold of him and throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." His fellow servant therefore fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But he would not, but he went away and cast him into prison until he should pay what was due. His fellow servants, therefore, seeing what had happened, were very much saddened, and they went and informed their master of what had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, "Wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou didst entreat me. Shouldst not thou also have had pity on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his master, being angry, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So also my heavenly Father will do to you, if you do not each forgive your brothers from your hearts. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. He was referred to as the ruler of this world. Our Lord, three times in the Gospel of John, during his Last Supper discourse, refers to Satan as the ruler of this world. In the epistle today, St. Paul reminds us that we do not struggle against flesh and blood, that is, of this world only, but against the powers and principalities of the world rulers of darkness. That is, the powers and principalities, meaning those are types of angels. Those angels of darkness are what we struggle against. Now, it has become quite fashionable to say that Satan and the devil is only a metaphor, that they're not real. They're only a metaphor for what's wrong in the world or what's wrong with us. This is completely false. The devil, Satan, the enemy, is a real person. He's not a human person, he's an angelic person. But he has will and he has intellect just like us. He's a person. He's not some metaphor or a fairy tale. He is a true being. And all the demons with him are real beings. And we should not fall into this trap that it seems like so often today, in the past 80 years, it has become popular to say this. Now, the devil appears all throughout Scripture. He appears in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, where he helps our first parents to get us into this situation we're in now, called original sin. He's also at the end, the last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, or the Revelation, where he's referred to as the dragon, the serpent, Satan. And we see there, it's of course a mystical vision that St. John is having, and we see there that St. John has the vision of the devil rebelling in heaven. He says, St. Michael and the angels cast him out. But not before, it says, he sweeps one-third of the stars out of the sky and casts them down. Now, many of the fathers of the church see that, or understand that, as meaning one-third of the angels followed Satan in his rebellion. One-third of them said no to God. And they knew what they were doing. They knew it. When they said no to God, they said no to him forever. There was no repentance on their part. And where did the devil go? In the book of the Apocalypse, he falls to earth. And it is here that he continues his battle. He continues his battle for souls. For what he did in heaven, he wants to continue here. That is, to sweep souls with him, to get them to rebel also with him. And he struggles against us. Says so here in the Apocalypse. Chapter 12, this is after the vision of Our Lady. Our Lady, the woman clothed with the sun, with a crown of 12 stars and the moon under her feet. There's that vision. He tries to attack her offspring. He can't. The boy, which is Christ, he tries to attack her, and he can't. So what does he do? Chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was very angry against the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed. Who is that? Who is the rest of her seed? Those who keep the commandments of God and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He goes to make war with us. St. Paul, in today's epistle, is not, should not be taken as some kind of metaphor. We truly struggle against the devil. Now, we have to put it in perspective. St. Paul says that we struggle against three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we have to remember that the devil is there. Now, the devil has two tactics he uses against us. The first is he tries to convince us that he doesn't really exist. And he's been pretty successful lately in doing this. Once, though, someone realizes that he exists, then the devil takes another tactic. He tries to convince the person that he is all-powerful or so powerful that the person is helpless against him, that we cannot resist him, that he is everywhere and we can't stop him. This is also false. The first case he tries to hide, and then the second case he tries to say, he's everywhere and we can't do anything against him. This is false. That Christ has given us the ability to resist him. He is limited, the devil and the other demons are limited in what they can do against us. God wants us to struggle with him. Just as the angels struggled in heaven and cast him out, so God wants us to struggle with him. And of course our other temptations which arise from the world and the flesh. But he wants us to struggle with him, to cast him out of where? Out of our hearts. He wants us to have the victory. He wants us to be united to Christ in order to do this. Now, the devil, as I said, is limited. What can he do? He cannot affect our will. He cannot force us to sin. We always have that choice. We have the choice. But he can tempt us. He can seduce us. He can try to get us to join him in his rebellion. But what specifically can he do? He can affect our brain, our gray matter up here. This is the normal way in which he works. Now, of course, he can occasionally do something more, which makes for a good, scary movie. But for the most part, that is the rarity. That's the exception. But he can affect every one of us up here in the gray cells, the gray matter. So what can he do? He can affect our memory. He can stir up an old memory, make us remember something. Either maybe some sin that we had fallen into to try to entice us, or maybe make us remember something that someone had done against us in order to stir us up against that person. So he can do this. Help us remember things that we should probably try not to remember. He can also affect our imagination. He can give us an image in our imagination. Maybe, again, an image of a past sin or something else. Maybe an impure image. And he's very good at trying to put those in at the right moment. Maybe when you're approaching communion, he'll try to distract you in that way. He can also put thoughts in our head, tempt us that way. Oh, you should do this. Oh, just do it. You know, take the money. Or nobody's looking. You can do this. He can whisper in our thoughts in that way. We shouldn't be deceived that he does this. Now, not every memory, not every imagining, and not every bad thought comes from the devil. Remember, they all don't come from him. But he can do this. What else can he do? There's something else he can do. He can affect our emotions. If we're a little angry, and if we have a difficulty with anger, he can stir that up, because an emotion is part of our material body. He can make us a little sad. If we're sad, he can add to it. He can do this. Sometimes, you can think of him sometimes as an anti-fireman. He sees a little fire, and rather than putting it out, he can add to it. Sees a little bit of anger, he tries to stir it up. Sees a little bit of temptation, maybe to lust, and he tries to stir that up. But in every case, he cannot move our will. He cannot force us to sin. He can only tempt. That it is up to us to choose. To choose the good and avoid the evil. And this is very critical. Now, we can fight him many ways. Just briefly, there are some things that we can do when you feel tempted. The first thing you should never do is address him directly. You can just rebuke the thought, though, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this thought to be gone. Maybe the thought is a little stronger and it doesn't go away. A very powerful prayer is the Sanctus prayer, the holy, holy, holy prayer we say at Mass. Why is that powerful for pushing away the devil? It's powerful to push away all evil from us. Why is that? Because that's the prayer of the angels in heaven. That's the prayer the devil refuses to say. And he hates it, and he flees from it. Another very good prayer, very quick, if you have a thought that comes in, temptation that you can't get rid of, is some people have found great relief in just going right to the refrain of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Don't have to say the whole chaplet, just go right to, for the sake of his sorrowful passions, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Three times. Many people have found great relief from temptations, especially impure thoughts. by just saying that little prayer. And I guess I should again emphasize that not every impure thought, not every temptation comes from the devil. But there are those that do. St. Paul gives us the warning. He says that we should take upon the armor of God so that we can resist. We should have justice. We should be ready with the gospel of peace, have peace. We should use the shield of faith to resist the fiery darts of the evil one. We should take upon ourselves salvation. Remember that our salvation is a defense. And also have the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. The sword, the Word of God, is the offensive weapon by which we defend ourselves. You know, when our Lord refers to the devil as the prince of this world, he also mentions that he has been defeated. He says, I saw the prince of this world fall from the sky. I saw the devil fall from the sky like lightning. And then in St. John specifically, he says, the prince of this world has already been judged. He is lost. He is defeated, and he knows it. The only question now is how many souls will he sweep away with him? And for us, we must recognize the real battle. The battle is in here. We need to defend ourselves and to fight against the devil. Otherwise, we will be like the man in the gospel. He was forgiven of an infinite debt, and yet he did not conform himself to Christ. He did not have humility. He did not live the gospel. The angels had one chance, a single sin, and they were cast out forever. We, though, can ask for forgiveness, but we have to be merciful in response. We have to follow Christ. This parable does not end happily. The man fails. And our Lord gives us the warning. He says, so my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brothers from your hearts. Our hearts are the battlefield. We must resist the devil and pursue Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.